Yeah, it's Celebration Sunday. Who's keen to celebrate what God has done this year with us? Good. It's going to be here. So all of you can be here 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. on that date in November. I can't remember what it was, but 23rd. I'm glad you listened. It was a test. You passed. Fantastic. So it's going to be here. It's going to be an awesome night. Well, I'm privileged to be able to bring the Word of God to all of us this morning. And this is a part two of a message that I preached a couple of weeks ago. What is truth is the title of this message, subtitle, love. So we're going to open up our Bibles to John chapter 18, verse 33 to 38. So I'll give you a moment to open up your Bibles to that. This is going to be good. We had an all-in seniors here on Wednesday, which was a lot of fun. Room was packed out with people that had like walking sticks and strollers and pushers, and it was just awesome. Do you know, I actually love gathering with the generation that has gone before us, because they're just so faith-filled. They love God. They know Him intimately. And it is so encouraging for me as a younger man than they are to actually be around them. I'm always encouraged by, and I know there's some of you in this room that I'm talking about, and I just love you guys. You guys are just so faith-filled, and I know the prayers that you pray for us as a church, and I appreciate them very much. And it was just a privilege and an honor to be able to be a part of the seniors program that we run as a church. And so I'll let you know, if you fall in that category, next year we're going to launch it again and you can be a part of that seniors program, and you will be blessed when you come along to what we do there. All right, John 18, 33 to 38, are we there? We got it in our Bibles. It's not going to be on the screen, so you're going to have to read it on your own, whatever phone or Bible that you have. I'm sorry, I heard some sighs. I probably should have let you know earlier. Come on, we're a church that believes in the written word of God, so we open it and we read it together. I won't get you to repeat after me. Sometimes that just is difficult. It's difficult. I read slow, you read fast. We're just not going to do it that way, but I'm going to read it out and you can follow with me in your Bible. Okay, John 18, 33 to 38. It says this, "Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. 'Are you the King of the Jews?' he asked him. Jesus replied, 'Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?' 'Am I a Jew?' Pilate retorted. 'Your own people and their leaders, leading priests, brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders, but my kingdom is not of this world.' Pilate said, 'So you are a king?' Jesus responded, 'You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true.'" And in the first part of verse 38, Pilate says, "What is truth?" What is truth? Now, a couple of weeks ago, we opened up scripture and we started diving in on a particular vein about truth and what is truth. And this is an age-old question, a question that humanity has asked since Adam and Eve first walked on this earth. What is truth? And this is a very deep question, a question that can cause division, a question that can cause aggression and hostility. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm not promising that we are going to land on an answer today that's going to satisfy the whole world. But I do promise that what we do land on today, if people did take a hold of this, the world would be a much better place. If we as a whole humanity, human species, took a hold of what is written in this word and actually took it as truth, the world would be a much better place. And that I can promise you, that I truly believe with all of my heart. But unfortunately, humanity does not. All of us take a hold of this truth. So then it is up to us, children of God, to example this truth to the rest of the world so that they can see the love and the life and the light that comes from living in the truth. What we what we established a couple of weeks ago is that buying into ideologies like truth is relative or my truth can be dangerous. And no matter how much we want to be inclusive by accepting people that come to us and go, well, I think this is truth. And we pat them on the back, go, that's lovely. I'm so glad that you think that is truth. It can lead to destruction. And in the name of being inclusive and in kindness and in love, we can actually send people down a dark, dark route when we don't actually stand up and example truth to them in love and in grace. I had this little saying when I was a little bit younger. I always said to myself, grace and truth are as inseparable as his love for you. Grace and truth. You know, we have to bring truth, but with grace. You can't ever bring truth without grace, because then it comes across as a rebuke, or it comes across aggressively, or it comes across as narrow-minded or judgmental. That's right. But if we bring it with grace, as it should be coupled always with grace, because it says grace and truth is as inseparable as his love for you, but we cannot stand idly watching people walk down the paths of truth is relative or my truth. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 31 to 32, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful in my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to be able to accept two truths here before we can go any further. The first one is why we pursue truth, and that is because truth will set us free. And the second one, the second reason, is what gives the first reason its power. That is what is written in this book is truth. What is written in the book, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, what is written in here, and Mark Bromley so beautifully and eloquently spoke about this a couple of months ago, about what's written in here we can actually take a hold of, we can actually stand upon, we can actually accept as truth. And that truth will set us free. The Bible is God's written word. It's his plan and his purpose spelled out for us so we can read about it. This book details God's character, his purpose, and his intent for us. We can also read about humanity's highs and lows in this book, ultimately showing us that without God, we end up lost and in despair. But when we live our lives in relationship with our Creator, we live a life of purpose, a life of meaning, a life filled with love, and a life filled with hope. Even though all that is written in this book is true and trustworthy, it takes faith to believe it and to receive it. Everything in this book is there to benefit us, is there to guide us, is there to teach us, and is good for teaching. But it takes faith to actually take a hold of it, to believe it, and to receive it. So join with me in faith this morning. Truth will set you free, but only if you believe it. And this brings us to the very important crossroad. Whether you believe it or not, truth is still truth. 2 + 2 = 4. It will always be 4. It has always been 4. 2 + 2 = 4, and that is just truth. No matter how relative you think it is truth. It's just like Jesus, who is the Son of God. He came, he lived on this earth, he died a horrible death, a death that we should have taken up. He took our place, and then on the third day, he rose again in victory and in glory. Truth. Truth, whether you believe it or not. It happened, and it happened for you. When you believe this truth and all that Jesus taught and lived out his teachings, you will be set free. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we went through what God says about us, the truth that is spoken over us, the truth about who we are, how much he loves us, and how passionate he is for us and about us. He's so for us, and he wants us to live a life that he created us to live. He wants us to receive the love he extends out to all of humanity. But today we're going to look at one of the most important, if not the most important teaching of Jesus. Now, before we go look at that, let's just pray together. God, we thank you so much for an opportunity to dive into your word, to explore truth, Father. And we just pray every single one of us will walk out differently this morning, God, because we've encountered you in a real and authentic way. God, speak to us. Make us more aware of your presence so we can actually take a hold of what you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm gonna read this verse, but I just want to color in a little bit just beforehand. So Jesus is out teaching, and the religious leaders of the time, they're scheming with each other. They're thinking, how can we trap Jesus? How can we cause him to make a mistake or falter or sin or blaspheme God so we can actually kill him? Their mission, their purpose was that they wanted to kill Jesus. And so Jesus is there. He's teaching the people who's willing to listen, and he's ministering to them. And so a religious leader steps forward, and we can read it in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 38. The religious leader asks him, what is the most important commandment? Trying to trap him. Of course, everyone around there would have thought, well, there's not just one most important commandment. There's 10 commandments that were given to Moses, and Moses gave them to their ancestors. So there's not just one most important commandment. So it was a trap. It was caused and it was given, and the question was asked to make Jesus stumble, to cause him to falter. And Jesus replied, you must love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is amazing about this answer is if you look at the Ten Commandments and you look at these two that Jesus gave, the first five are all under the category of love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Those first five are all covered by that one commandment. And then the next five are all covered by love your neighbor as you love yourself. So Jesus actually, in his answer, he covered all 10 commandments, but he simplified it for us. He made it digestible for us. It's so odd to me sometimes when we think of the 10 commandments and we're like, oh, easy, so good. Yeah, we're in 10 commandments, that's all we have to do and we'll be made right with God. But how many of you know each one of us has fallen short of even the 10 commandments? So as long as, I won't go there. Anyway, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now let's keep in mind what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And what Jesus said in Matthew 22 is possibly the most important of his teachings. And if we remain faithful to his teachings, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. How then does loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind bring us freedom? How does loving our neighbor as we love ourselves bring us freedom? Now that is what we're going to answer today. And the first one is love your God. Now Jesus was talking to Jewish religious leaders at this time. So he's addressing people that he knows God. The God that created everything, the God of the universe, the God that gave life to all living things, the God that brings light to all of us. So Jesus knows he's talking to people that actually know God. And so he addresses them. He says, love your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Love your God with everything. God created everything out of love and for love. And so Jesus tells them to love this God, the God that sent his only son, Jesus, to redeem humanity back to himself. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love him because he first loved you. Jesus was speaking to Jews, but it was written down in Matthew so that we can read these words of Jesus and take a hold of this truth, so that we could also be set free. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now, our heart is our emotions. Our heart is where our emotions stem from. Our heart is where our emotions flow out of, and it's built up in our heart. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Our heart determines the course of our lives. And for this, for those who believe and who've been alive for more than 1 year, for those of us that have walked this earth for just a short little while, we can recognize and we know that what happens in our heart affects our emotions, it affects our mood, it affects how we feel, it affects how we go about life. When things happen in here, when we're hurt, when we're in distress, when something goes against what we want in our hearts, it actually sets a path for us. It actually moves us towards something. It actually causes us to take a step in a certain direction. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. Because if we don't guard our heart and things come against us and things hurt us and things penetrate in and things twist our heart and cause us pain in our heart, where do we end up going? We end up going down dark paths. We end up going down despair and depression and darkness. We end up in places we should have never been because our hearts have actually led us there. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful and wicked. Who can trust it? But when we guard our heart, when we protect our heart from the things that can happen in the world around us and can affect us and infect us, we end up in places we should have never been. So guard our heart. When we love God with all our heart, we are giving our heart to Him for Him to care for Him to cherish, for Him to guard, for Him to keep. That's loving God with all your heart is actually giving Him everything. It's giving Him your emotions. It's giving Him your feelings. It's not being led by your emotions or your feelings, but actually being led by Him. It's giving over authority to Him to actually rule and reign in your life, because where your heart goes, it determines the course of our lives. Now, our soul is the part of us that continues on after our bodies die. We will either spend eternity with God or without God. Being with God is expressed throughout the Bible as having eternal life. Now, being separated from God is being cast into eternal fires, hell. But the choice is completely ours. So our souls will continue on, or our bodies decay, and some of us know this better than others already. Our bodies break down. Our bodies aren't meant to last forever, but our souls continue on, and our souls are the ones that goes on and lives with God or without God, but the choice is ours. 1 Peter 2 verse 25 says, "Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls." It's God who will receive our soul when we turn to Him. When we love Him and give Him our soul, He will guard it and He will keep it. When we give Him access to our eternal life, when we say to Him, "You take control of where I end up in eternity," He guards our soul. And no matter what comes against us in this world, no matter what we face in this world, He is guarding our soul, and eternity is ours with Him as He continues to protect our soul. Our mind is our intellect, our thoughts. We are to love God and give Him our thoughts. It's everything that goes on in here, everything that we process, everything that we come up with, everything that we think about. It's all in our mind. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." This verse tells me that the way we think shapes us into who we are and who we are becoming. And that's true. What we think about ourselves will become our reality. If you keep on thinking, "I'm a little sick today, I'm not feeling very well today, or I feel like this pain in my back today," or well, when we ponder on things, when we keep on giving attention in our mind to certain things, we will end up actually feeling sore in our back. We will feel a headache that we can't get rid of. We will feel this cough come up. It's so strange. It's this thing like our minds actually lead us into places and our minds, what we think about, it becomes our reality. But when we let God transform the way we think, we will become a new person. Learning what God's will for our lives are, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. As we turn our minds over to God, our love for Him, out of love for Him, we are formed by Him into the people we were designed to be, living a life that is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, the most important command is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We do this by giving Him our heart, soul, and mind. We do this by actually allowing God to take a hold of those things. Give God your heart. Give God your soul. Give God your mind. That is how we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And the second commandment that is equally as important is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I actually think this one trips us up the most. I actually think this one is far more difficult than we give credit to. I think this one is something that we constantly wrestle with. It's one that causes us to stumble, I think, the most. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's a lot harder than what we think it is. Let me ask you this question. And I don't want you to yell it out. All right, just processes it inside. You don't have to put your hand up. It's not a yes or no. It's just think about this question. Take a moment to actually process this question. Do you love yourself? Do you actually like yourself? Think about it. Do you tolerate yourself? Do you despise yourself? Do you hate yourself? This is a vital part of being able to live out this command. It's like the law of gravity. It just exists. Now, if we don't love ourselves, this commandment will never work. If we don't actually care for ourselves, this commandment will fall flat. This commandment will actually never take root in our lives, and we will never see the fruit of it. The way you love, like, tolerate, dislike, or even hate yourself is how you will love, like, dislike, tolerate, or hate someone else. What you think of yourself will project naturally toward the people around you. What you feel about yourself will naturally overflow and affect the people around you. The way you feel about yourself, the way you view yourself, the way you see yourself will actually determine how you view, see, and feel about other people. It's like gravity. That's just how it works. That's how we were designed. It's no mistake that Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you don't like yourself, how can you like someone else? If you don't love yourself, how can you love someone else? I always made a joke. I love myself because I'm just exampling other people how to do it. I'm just showing people what it looks like to love me. So I love myself. And it comes across a bit boastful and a bit prideful, but I mean that in sincerity, okay? Just look at how I love myself and you can do the same. You can love me like that too. But we are to love ourselves. Because if we don't, we cannot love someone else. If we are going to love our neighbor, we need to first figure out how to love ourselves. This takes us back to the other week. The truth of what God says about you. Think of how much God loves you. Think of what He has already done for you. The desire that He has for you to be with Him for eternity. If you're struggling to actually love yourself or like yourself, think of how God thinks about you. The creator of the universe. The one that holds it all in His hand and He thinks of you. The Bible says the thoughts that He has about you outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. Think about that. Think of how many grains of sand there are on the seashore. And He thinks about you more than there are sand on the seashore. He cares about us. He is for us. He loves us. If you're struggling to like yourself, just think of what God says about you. He is so for you. When we wrap our heads around the fact that God loves us and He wants the best for us, then we will start to see ourselves the way God sees us. This will give us the ability to actually love ourselves. Once we get that part ironed out, then loving our neighbor will come a little easier. When we figure out how to actually love ourselves, it's going to become a little easier to love the people around us. Now, when it comes to loving our neighbor, I want us as a church to set a challenge for ourselves. I love that Jed brought it up about the invite of thinking about one person. Just think of one person. And that's what I want to challenge us with this morning as well. Think of that one person. Think of someone that you know, someone in your life, someone you talk to regularly that does not know Jesus yet. Think of their name. Think of the next time you will see them. Think about it right now. Actually, take time right now, close your eyes, and think of the people in your life. Think of those that don't know Jesus yet. Think of those that you regularly see, regularly talk to. Now, please don't fall asleep, some of you. I already see some of you nodding off. You can open your eyes if you're struggling to stay awake. Big weekend, I know, the storm hit and everything like that. But think of someone. Think of their name. Think about them. Our challenge is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And you, knowing what you do know, knowing that Jesus Christ came to set you free, died on a cross, was raised to life 3 days later, in glory and in victory, defeating death, hell, and the grave, forever cleansing us of our sins, past, present, and future. Knowing what you do know, would you not want that person that you've already thought of right now, would you not want them to know the same thing? Would you not want them to live in that same freedom? Would you not want them to spend eternity with their Creator as well? You wouldn't let yourself walk away from that. You wouldn't let yourself move away from the promise and the freedom that is found in Christ. So don't let others do the same. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Show them what a life surrendered to Jesus looks like and invite them to join you in that. Romans 13 verse 8 says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law." Owe nothing to anyone except that you love your neighbor. The simplest way to do this is by bringing them to church. Because sometimes we don't know exactly what to say. Sometimes we come at a loss to actually explain things. And don't worry, I come at a loss too sometimes, of how to actually articulate and explain the goodness of God. Because it's unfathomable sometimes. Eternity is going to be filled with us exploring and finding out how deep the love of God is for us. Now that we can't even comprehend. We can't even comprehend what we're going to be doing in 10 years' time, let alone in eternity. But when we bring people into the gathering together, you know, this is where we can encounter God in a real and authentic way. This is where we are encouraged by others that are like-minded in living out the call of God on each one of our lives. This is where people come together and find God. Now, we can find God in our bedroom. We can find God in our living room. We can find God driving in our car. Hey, we can even find God in the shower. We can find God wherever. But when we come together, it simplifies it. It demystifies it. People come into this place and they can feel the tangible presence of God because there's faith-filled people already worshiping Him, already setting an atmosphere to people come into, setting an atmosphere of faith, setting an atmosphere where people can grow. Bring people to church because this is where they can encounter the living God for themselves. Let's decide to be a church that loves our neighbor so much that we will love them into knowing Jesus like we do. Now, the first step is to pray for them. Inviting them is actually quite far down the list of loving our neighbor. Actually, telling them, hey, I'm going to pick you up at 9 o'clock because church starts at 9:30 and we're going to get here on time. It's a wild concept for some, I know. We're gonna get to church. That's a bit further down the list of the process of loving someone. The first step is actually to pray for them. We've all thought of someone already that we know, that we talk to regularly, and we know they don't know Jesus. We've got them in our minds already. The first step is actually to pray for them. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for those people together this morning. So why don't we stand together this morning? Can I have the band come up? You've got that person in your head already. You can see their face when you close your eyes. It's good now. Now you're standing. You can close your eyes and not fall asleep. When you close your eyes, you can see their face before you. You know exactly where you're going to see them next. You know exactly how they're going to respond. You might even know exactly how they feel right now and what they're going through. And right now, we're going to pray for them. We're going to lift them up. I'm just going to pray quite a general prayer, but I want you in your heart to lift them up. Pray for them by name. Ask God to move in their lives. So right now together, Father, we just pray for that person. God, we thank you so much that you love them so much, that you are so for them, God. Lord, we know that you want the best for them, Father. And God, I pray that you will equip us. I pray that you will give us the strength, the courage, God, the love that will flow out of us, Father, the grace that comes with the truth of your word, God. Help us to minister to these people. God, help us to bring truth to them. God, help us to shine your light on them. Father, help us to love them the way we love ourselves, God, because we will never walk away from your love. So, Lord, help us to guide them into your love. Help us, God, minister through us. Talk through us. Let your love flow through us in Jesus' mighty name. We lift up these people to you, God. And give us opportunities to bring you up. Soften their heart right now, Father. Open their eyes, Lord, and open their ears. Let them feel you. Let them hear you. Let them see you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want to pray for those that are actually struggling to love yourself. You might be going through something right now and you go, I can't stand the sight of myself in my mirror. I'm really struggling to even look at my reflection. Now, I know that's a very personal thing. That's a very private thing that we go through. But hey, God knows. God sees. God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows exactly what you're thinking about yourself. And He wants to set you free from that, because that mindset, that thought process, how you feel about yourself, what you think of yourself, that's a trap. It's a dungeon. You're in bondage to that. That's not the life that God wants you to live. There is no freedom in not loving yourself. There is no joy in not loving yourself. There is zero hope in not loving yourself. And God wants to give you hope. God wants to give you joy. God wants to give you freedom. God wants you to see yourself the way He sees you. Why else would He write it in His love letter for us? Why else would it be written in this word? What He thinks about you, what He went through to set you free. He does not want you to not like yourself. He created you. He formed you. While you were still in your mother's womb, in that safety, He knitted you together exactly the way you're supposed to be. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. He knew you even before the world was formed. He set a path for you. He set you aside. He made a way for you to be righteous in His sight. Take a hold of that promise. Take a hold of that truth. Don't allow the devil to keep on telling you you're nothing, you're worthless, you mean nothing. Hey, you mean everything to God. He sent His Son to die on a cross for you to have freedom. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. The enemy thought he won, but Jesus came back to life victorious for you. For you. So right now in this place, his eyes are closed. I'm not even going to look. But I need you to make a move. I need you to not come down to the front, but just simply raise your hand. And I ask every single person in this place to have their eyes closed. Everyone right now has their eyes closed. I'm going to stop walking, otherwise I need to look. Our eyes are closed right now. This is purely a moment between you and God. But I ask you to respond. Move your hand. Place it up in the air. No one is looking. I promise you, not one human is looking right now. But God sees. And if that's you in this place, and you're struggling to love yourself, hey, you're struggling even to like yourself, just put your hand up in the air. Just move. Tell your body to stop staying in this place. Reach out to God, the lover of your soul. God, for every person that has their hand up right now, Father, I pray that your love will overwhelm them. Jesus, let your love overwhelm them right now, God. Lord, let your love flow through them in such a powerful way, Father. Lord, let your love penetrate the deepest, darkest pains in their life, God. Set them free, Father, from the bondage that they find themselves in, God. And Lord, let them see themselves the way you see them. Break the chains that are holding them back, God. Break down the walls that are separating them from your love, God. Set them free right now, Jesus. Set them free right now, Jesus. Lord, let your love flow through them so it can continue to heal them, set them free, and impact the world around them. Minister to them right now, Jesus. Minister to them right now, Jesus. Your goodness runs after us, God. Your goodness constantly pursues us. Your love will never fail us. Lord, there is no place we can go where your love is not. There's no depths that we can travel to where you will not find us, where your presence won't be, God. There's no height that we can ascend to where you can't be with us, God. You're always there. You're always there, God. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, you have not actually received and accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to say yes to the one that made a way for you. That made a way for you to be free. That made a way for you to know Him. That made a way for your soul to spend eternal life with Him. If you're in this place and you have not said yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to allow Him in. To open up your heart to Him. He's knocking. His love will never stop running after you. He's constantly pursuing you. But He's a gentleman. He will never force Himself upon you. He's waiting for you to open the door to Him. So if you're in this place and you want to open the door to Jesus, allowing Him into your life to lead you, to guide you, I just want to encourage you to just raise your hand as an indication to me that you want to receive Jesus into your life so that I can pray with you. So if there's anyone in this place that wants to say yes to Jesus, just give me a wave. Anyone that wants to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Father, I pray right now, God, that you will continue to send people into this place, Father, that you will equip us, God, that you will strengthen us, Father, that you will cause us to love our neighbors so much that we reach out, God, We tell them about you, Jesus, that there is freedom in you, God. And God, if we don't lead them to Christ in that moment, if we don't lead them to you in that moment, God, give us the courage to bring them to this place, Lord, so that they can encounter you, so they can know that there is a God that loves them, that is for them, that only wants the best for them. And God, let them receive you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And God, if we have led them to you, God, let us still bring them here so they can get connected into a family, God, that will support them, that will love them, that will encourage them to live their life to the audience of one, only pleasing you, in Jesus' mighty name. Fill this place with people that don't know you yet so they can encounter you, Jesus, so that their lives will be completely changed and transformed, God, so they can be the people that you formed and created them to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, church. Come on, take on that challenge. You know that person. You've already prayed for them. You already thought about them. Love them as you love yourself. Don't let them walk away for an opportunity to spend eternity with their Creator. Come on, that is our challenge. Let's see this place double because we actually love people the way we love ourselves. And if you struggle to love yourself, just think of what God thinks about you. Take a hold of the promises that are written in His truth, His word, and receive them in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to go out.